Lord, we thank you for this morning. God, I just thank you for the opportunity that we've already had to come into your presence, to worship you, to lift up your name, Jesus, to remind our hearts, our inner man, that we are your children and that you are a good, good father. So God, we come now to your word, knowing that it is good, that's alive, it's active, that it changes us, it encourages us, it moves us forward, it expands us in who we are as your children. So have your way with us this morning. Here we are, Lord. Speak to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, last week we began a new series, and the Lord began speaking to us about expansion. He has us in a season of expanding the church. We have the physical evidence of that, as you saw in the announcements, the playground, the worship center, different things that God is doing. He's expanding us, the external evidence of that expansion. But we also understand that expansion goes beyond what we see and experience externally and actually is very much concerned with the internal. What's happening with us on the inside, the expansion of our hearts, the expansion of our love, the expansion of His Spirit within us. God has called us to be the expanding church. So that's the series that we're in. The expanding church. God is in the business of expanding His church, increasing, moving forward, taking things, taking us, His people, to new levels. Last week we took a very real look at how He did that as He launched the church. And then there was the day of Pentecost. And in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit, He showed up. He filled the church. The church filled with the Spirit walks out of that upper room, 120 people strong. And by the end of the day, the church was expanded by 3,000 people. That's God's economy. That's how He operates the expanding church. I have an interesting story that I found that highlights God's tendency to expand things. By 1916, Albert Einstein's theory of general relativity had predicted that the universe was expanding. Now, why was this a big deal? It's a big deal because an expanding universe meant a universe that had a beginning, means it had a point of creation. This posed a problem, though, for Einstein, because Einstein held to this thing called the steady state theory of the universe, which meant that the natural universe itself was eternal, that the universe itself had always existed, that no one had made it. And here his own theory, this theory of general relativity, came out that was predicting that his own personal beliefs were wrong. But he was thinking, well, it's still only a theory. He did all kinds of gymnastics. He put different types of pieces into his equation to try to make it fit his worldview and his belief. But something happened. In 1927, this guy named Edwin Hubble looked through his new telescope, this 100-inch telescope on California's Mount Wilson Observatory, and Hubble saw visible evidence of an expanding universe. He discovered something called a red shift. It's a red shift actually in the light spectrum coming from other galaxies. Now, a red shift is what occurs when the light spectrum of the source is moving away from you. So if something's moving away from you, there's this red shift that occurs in the light that is emanating from that object that's moving away from you. And when he saw this happening, that galaxies were actually moving away, it was conclusive, visible evidence of an expanding universe. 2 years later, in 1929, Einstein made his own pilgrimage to Mount Wilson. He needed to see it for himself. He looked through the Hubble telescope, and he could no longer deny that the universe was indeed expanding, and therefore the universe had a beginning. Check out how this affected this man, how this affected this scientist, Einstein. From that point on, Einstein sought to understand the beginner. That's a capital B, beginner. In fact, he's quoted as saying this subsequently after discovering the expanding universe. He said he wants to, quote, know God and know how God created the world. Einstein began making statements like this: I'm not interested any longer in this or that phenomenon, in the spectrum of this or that element. Rather, I want to know his thoughts. The rest are just details. You see, here's what happens. When the greatness of God is revealed to mankind, we want to come to know him. What does that tell us? It tells us that we need to help display the greatness of God to our community, to our culture, because when we do, people are going to be drawn to know him, just as Einstein was drawn to know God as he saw visible evidence of the creator of the universe. Similarly, when we experience the love of God, everything changes. And our ability to love and our desire to love begins to rapidly expand. It's just what happens. You see, the God who spoke this expanding universe into existence is also expanding his presence on this earth. The creator of the universe is expanding his church. He's expanding his kingdom. We talked last week how he's expanding our vision. And God is also expanding our love. That's the title of today's message. Expanding our love. And I'll tell you what, I know this is the word of the Lord for today. In pre-service prayer, two people began praying about the love of God increasing in our gathering, increasing in our lives. That word came forth even this morning in our corporate ministry time and testimony time. God is in the business of expanding our love. That's his desire, for our love to expand, to grow. You know, God's word says that God is love. You all know that, right? God is love. And when we allow God to expand in our lives, when we let God get bigger in our lives, what happens? Love begins to expand. Love begins to increase in us and through us. That's just the way it happens. And I just think it's also really cool how God times different messages and gives us the word of the Lord for today. It's Valentine's week, isn't it? Guys, if you didn't know that, you can thank me later. I don't take credit cards, but I do take cash and check. You know, it's just kind of like a thank you, Pastor, for reminding me of that. Anyway, took my wife out last night. We had to do it a little early this year. But here we are talking about love. It's Valentine's week. God has a message for us. He wants our love to be expanding. You see, the Apostle Paul, he got this. He understood the importance and the power of God's expanding love. And he prayed this prayer over the church. Are we the church? We're the church. We're the people of God. Here's the prayer that the Apostle Paul has prayed over us, that the Spirit of God has, in fact, prayed over us. It says, "And I pray that you, church, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness." In other words, that ever-expanding fullness of God. God wants us, his people, his church, to know how big his love is and to receive that love, to grow in that love, and to give that love out to others. How big is God's love? How wide, how long, how high, how deep is God's love for us? you know, I get kind of crazy. It's just coming to me again. You know, song, how deep is your love? How deep? Anyway, some of you older people know that song. That kind of stuff just comes to me. I just have to let it out. My family's like covering their eyes and putting their heads down. Oh, Lord, help my dad. Help my dad. It's just who I am. You love me, though. You love me, don't you? You love me. How deep is your love? How deep? Anyway, how deep is God's love? Here are a few examples, marvelous, amazing examples of God's extravagant love for us. John 3:16, you're familiar with this. For God so loved the world, that's you and me, that's people. He so loved us that he gave us his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And we know what it meant when he gave his Son to us, a broken, sinful, lost world. Take communion and remember what it meant when Christ gave us his Son. Remember and understand, remind yourself of what that love, that extravagant love, looks like for us. Romans 5:18, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still enemies of God, before we were cleaned up, before we received the righteousness of Christ, before his grace came upon us, before we ever turned to him and declared that he is good and he's God, while we were still enemies and sinners, he sent his Son Jesus, and Jesus went to the cross for us. How deep is his love? How big is it? How high is it? How far will God's love go? Has it gone for you and for me? 1 John 3:1, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us. He's not stingy. He lavishes his love on us. And how great is that love that he's lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. We used to be enemies, lost sinners. But through his Son Jesus, because of his love, he's brought us into his family, lavished his love on us. We are his children. We're now heirs and co-heirs with our Lord and Savior Jesus. That's amazing. It's outstanding. It's extravagant. It's beyond comprehension, the love that God has for you and for me. Lamentations. You want to find out about love? Go to Lamentations. It's probably not the first place you go, right? But Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23. It says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, God. Great is your love, God. Great is your mercy for us, God. God's love is truly amazing. Love is powerful, and so Paul continues to pray God's love over the church. Let's look at another one of Paul's prayers for the church. It's found in Philippians 1, verse 9. This is my prayer, that your love may abound. I'm going to use the word expand. That your love may expand more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, that your love may expand, that you may grasp God's love, and that that love may expand your love, and that it would go deep, deep, deep. God's love is the most powerful force in the universe. And when we have received his love, when we've grasped the enormity of God's love for us, we begin to discover and we begin to experience the power of God's love is actually expanding our love. It's cause and effect. It just happens when you come into contact with the love of God. You change. We change. When we come into contact and receive the extravagant love of God, our love, yeah, your love, but I'm broken, but I'm just a guy, but remember my past, but your love begins to expand, begins to grow. How many of you are glad that God is expanding your love? Are you glad for that? Okay, let me ask you this. How many spouses are glad that God is expanding your spouse's love? Okay. Amen. My wife, don't put your hand up so high, honey. It's Valentine's week. Let's look at how God's love is expanding our love. We're going to look at three ways that our love is expanding because of God's love for us. Number one, God's love is expanding our love for God. God's love at work in our lives is expanding our love for Him, for God. This is what Jesus says is the most important thing in our lives. We find it in Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. We were singing about that earlier. We were talking about that earlier in our time of worship and ministry, weren't we? The love of God, all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the primary thing we need to be doing. And Jesus says the second is to do this. The second most important thing we can be doing with our lives is to do what? Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. It starts, though, with loving God. What's the most important thing we can be doing in our lives with our lives? It's loving God. And when we encounter God's love, we actually begin to receive what we need to be able to do that very most important thing that we're called to do. And that's to love God. So this is what I've been doing lately. A couple weeks ago, the Lord just had to bring it all back down and get it simple again with me. Because, you know, I run life, I go hard, I go strong, and then things start swirling, I got plates spinning, all kinds of life happening, and next thing you know, God has to rein me in and say, okay, Eric, it's time to get really simple again. And this is what He has me praying now in the morning. This is how I'm approaching my days at this time. If all I do today is love God, I'm successful. I had to get back to that reality. Because there's a lot of things I need to be doing, a lot of things that need to happen, a lot of things, a lot of plates that need to be kept spinning, going and going and going. And you can start thinking, that's what determines my success. Can I keep the plates spinning? Can I get the projects done? Can I? And God says, hey, Eric. If all you do today is love me, you're a success. You're a success. I want you to grab hold of that reality. I want you to wake up in the morning from that place. When we live in that reality, the enemy can't mess around with us. Start saying, see, you did that wrong. You didn't get that done on time. That didn't happen. You're a failure. You're not meeting the mark. What are we talking about? The most important thing we can do in life, any day, every day, day in and day out, is to love God. And if we're doing that, we are a success. We're successful. It's that simple. And so I hear what Jesus is saying. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. I get it. I hear what He's saying, but I still miss the mark. I'm not there yet. I know other things still creep in. Other things still grab parts of my love, my devotion, pull it away from God. It still happens in my life, but I know that God has given me all I need to love Him with my all, and so I keep going back. I keep waking up the next day, and His mercies are new that morning. His love is great. He's faithful to me, and I say, God, here I am again to love You. That's what I want to do. You know, when temptation comes my way in the middle of the day, I remember that prayer that I prayed that morning, that desire that was coming out of my heart. Dude, I'm not going to do that because I love God. And that's what I'm doing today. I'm going to love God. God's given me all I need. So I've determined to actively engage and to cooperate with this process of God expanding His love in me, through me, so that I can love Him well. I can love Him with my all. you know, this whole process of letting God expand His love in us and change us because of His love and cause us to love Him more. That process is called sanctification. Sometimes we listen to that word like sanctification, discipleship, and all this kind of stuff. And man, we see all the different pieces that hang off of that word, all the different activities and things that we need to be about to be sanctified and to be, you know, more holy and like God. And I just want to encourage you, keep it simple. Love God. Love God. Everything else will flow out of that. Jesus told us that. The greatest thing we can be doing is loving God. I read a story this week about a woman who wanted to divorce her husband. She wanted him to really feel hurt and pain, though. She was done with him. Apparently, he wasn't a very good guy. She wanted him to really feel the pain of this divorce. So she came up with a plan. And this was her plan. She said, I'm going to show him all sorts of love is what I'm going to do first. I'm going to serve him. Oh, I'm going to be intimate with him. I'm going to speak kind and uplifting words to this man, caring words to him. And once I've done that, once I've buttered him all up and given him all of that, then I'm going to serve him with those divorce papers, and it's going to break his heart. That was her plan. Well, after a couple months of working her plan, putting it in action, working her plan, showing real love, sacrificial love to her husband, it was time to bring down the boom. You know what I'm saying? It was time to bring down the boom. Enough of that good stuff. But something in this whole process had happened. She wasn't expecting this to happen. You see, in the course of engaging in these acts of love for her husband, her heart for him and her affections for him changed. In fact, her love for her husband had so expanded that they ended up living happily ever after. She never dropped the boom. They lived happily ever after. See, love is powerful. And when we intentionally choose to engage in real expressions of love, when we choose to give God our first, our best, when we choose to take action and give Him love, display love, show Him real love, spend time with Him, talk with Him, serve Him, what happens? We find our ability and our desire to love Him expanding and growing in our lives. Oh, I just want to have more of a heart for God. Just start showing Him love. Spending time with Him. Speaking His name. Declaring His goodness. I just want to love my husband more. Spend time with him. Speaking goodness over him. Serving him. And I know sometimes it's not hard, and I'm not saying that there aren't other factors in there, so don't hear what I'm not saying. But this principle that we find, what we sow, we will reap. And if we're sowing love, we're going to reap more love. Our love and our ability to love will actually expand. I wrote down this statement. It was very profound. It confused me the first time I was typing, I was writing, and I wrote this down. I'm like, that doesn't make sense, Eric. And then I step back and I go, wait a minute. It really does make sense. Thank you, Lord. And the phrase is this: the more we love, the more we love. Now, seriously, that sounds kind of cute and like it doesn't make sense, but just think about it now. The more we love, the more we love. The more we love God, the more our capacity to love Him increases and expands. Because we're investing in love. And when we invest in love, we're going to get God-sized dividends. Because love is from God. God is love. When we invest in Him, when we invest in His kingdom, His principles, when we invest in the very thing that He is, love, we are going to get a bumper crop. We're going to get an amazing harvest. We're going to get a return that will blow our minds, and everybody around us are going to go, wow! The more we love, the more we love. It's pretty awesome. But something happens. Expanding our love for God leads us into something else. When we expand our love for God, we also find that we are expanding our love for the church. That's the second point. The Apostle Paul prayed this over the churches. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow. For who? For each other. Speaking to the church, brothers and sisters in Christ, make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. The Apostle John exhorts the church in this way. He says this, it's found in 1 John chapter 4, beginning of verse 7. John says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love for us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Verse 10, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Our love for one another in the body of Christ actually displays God to the world. We want the world to see God. We want the world to know God. They see God through the love that we have for one another. God's love causes us to demonstrate real love toward one another, and it's our love toward one another that demonstrates that we're truly saved. One of those evidences of salvation. It's our expanding love for one another, for fellow believers, that actually identifies us to the world as Christians. John 13, 35, Jesus says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If you love one another, if you love your fellow brother and sister in Christ Jesus, that is, again, the evidence that you are a follower of Christ, that you are one of his disciples, that you're in the family of God. Our love for one another. It's important that we take this seriously. It really is. It's easy to get frustrated with one another, because we're just people. We're broken. We don't always do the right thing or say the right thing. So if I ever don't do the right thing or say the right thing to you, please be patient with me. Show me love, because I don't always get it right. There's a trend that I find of Christians bashing one another. They don't worship right. They don't serve right. They don't love right. They don't look right. They don't believe this thing right or that thing right. And Christians start throwing rocks at one another and bashing one another. But I don't remember seeing that one in the list of one another's in my Bible. I challenge you to find me the bash one another verse, you know, in the Bible. I find in my Bible, love one another, be devoted to one another, accept one another, serve one another, forgive one another, encourage one another, build one another up. I find those in my Bible, but not the bash one another, judge one another, condemn one another, write one another off. I don't find that in my Bible. And it's when we do the one another's that we find in the Word of God, that's when the world says, whoa, God is real. Look, there are a people that can actually love one another when they're not perfect yet. They still love one another. The world doesn't have that. But in the church, we have love. We have the love of God. The other thing is that the church is the bride of Christ. It was talked about earlier. We sang that reality earlier. He's coming back for his bride. And he doesn't want people bashing the bride that he's coming back to sweep off of her feet. He wants us to be preparing her, to loving her, to being gentle with her. And so we're called to have our love for God expanding, but also our love for one another, for the body of Christ, for the church, has got to be expanding. But then God's love does something else. It goes to a whole nother level. You see, God is also expanding our love for the lost. We're expanding our love for God, for one another. But also, when we've received God's love, when it's truly having its effect on us, we find that our love for the lost is expanding. The greatest thing Jesus told us is to love God. But then Jesus says, and we read it in Mark 12, the second greatest thing is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no command greater than these. And so the obvious question is, well, then who's my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? In the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, Jesus helps us with that. He answers that question with a story about what we call now the Good Samaritan. And within this story, Jesus reveals that our neighbor is not simply those who look like us. Our neighbor is not those who act like us. Our neighbor is not only those who are of our nationality, of our race, not even those who live in our nation. That's not our neighbor. Rather, our neighbor is anyone and everyone. Anyone and everyone is our neighbor. It's the person who can't do anything. It's the person who may be hurting, may be broken, and lost. They're our neighbor. But they're persecuting me. They're your neighbor. They're dangerous. They're your neighbor. Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus is calling us to do something that would be impossible in our own strength, but we're not operating in our own strength anymore. It'd be impossible to do if we're manufacturing love ourselves, but we're not manufacturing love. We are simply giving what we've already received from God, which is extravagant love, which is unbelievable love. And Jesus says, love your neighbor as I've loved you. Go after them like I went after you. Care for them. Share with them. Give to them. Lay down your life for your neighbor. Anyone. Everyone. Our neighbors. Loving others, loving the lost is the evidence that God's love is truly expanding in us. And so I ask myself these questions a lot. I get in God's Word and it gets challenging. It gets really encouraging. I get excited. I walk around. I jump. I do amens. I say, hey, family, check this out. This is so cool. But then there's those other times I got to go, whoa. Is my love really expanding? Am I really loving my neighbor the way Christ has loved me when I was still a sinner, when I was an enemy? He came after me. He laid down his life for me. Is God's love expanding in your life? We can't give what we don't have. We can't give that which we've not received. We get that, right? I can't give you $1 million. I'm sorry. I don't have it right now. The prescription for expanding love in and through our lives always goes back to filling up on God's love. I really want us to all understand this as the church, as the people of God. We got to make sure that we're refilled on the love of God. Refilled. Refilled. You know, I rarely just drink one cup of coffee in the morning. A little confession time here right now. I just don't. I usually go back for refills. That's plural. Refills, not a refill. I usually go back for refills, which is one of the reasons that I have begun to have, you know, morning meetings and things at Liberty Market, because they give free coffee refills. For $2.08, you get a nice, you know, coffee mug, and you can go back for as many refills as you want. And sometimes I'll sit there for 3 hours and they're really losing big money on me. You know what I'm saying? But I go back for refills, free refills on coffee. But my question this morning is are we going back for refills of God's love? Because we're pouring it out, right? So if it's being poured out, we need to continue to take it in. Are you going back for refills on God's love? And I want to remind you, the refills are free, just as the initial cup of His love for you was free to you. It was spilled at the cross. That cup of the new covenant that was given to you and to me, it was free for us. And the refills are free. And all we need to do is receive it, take it, drink it, take it in, and keep getting refilled on it and pouring that love out to others, to God, to one another in the church, and to our neighbors. The lost, the hurting, the one that can't do a single thing for you. Being filled and refilled with the love of God. So have you received God's love? It says in 1 John 4:10, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Have you received that love? Have you received the perfect expression of love? Have you received the gift of Jesus Christ in your life? Is He your Lord and Savior? Has your life been expanded by the perfect love of God? The Lord has His love for you this morning. He wants you to drink of it. He wants you to take it in. Maybe you're here and you've experienced the love of God, but you haven't been refilling on His love, and you're dry. He wants you to get a fresh filling of His love this morning. I want to ask you to stand up. I want to ask the ministers to come forward. We're going to close. If you have a need, if you have an area of your life that you need the Creator of the universe, the one that's expanding His kingdom, if you need expansion of His kingdom, healing, provision, whatever it is in your life, come and lay it again at the feet of Christ, the one who loves you. If you've never received, if you've never taken in the love of God, this morning is your opportunity to drink of that cup of God's love, to come alive anew. If you've been living in a dry place, this morning is your opportunity to get refilled on the love of God. I'm going to pray, and when I'm finished praying, come forward and receive His love. Get filled with His love. He has it in amazing, extravagant measure for you this morning. So, Lord, we thank You for Your love. God, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your love, Your expanding love in our lives. We thank You, God, because You love us. We can love You and we can love others. God, we will take this truth and we will actively refill and we will actively pour out, God. We will look for our neighbor. We will encourage one another in the family of God. And we will devote ourselves to You, turning to You, giving You our all and all, God. Because Your love is so deep, so wide, it's so high, it's so good, God. Thank You for Your love. We receive. We say yes to it. In Your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. And I want to encourage you, fill up this week on the love of God. And I want to encourage you, pour it out. I want to encourage you, build one another up. And I want to encourage you, find your neighbor this week and show them the love of God. God bless you.